Who's full of it this morning? Grace. We're talking about grace. Who's? Jesus was full of it, right? So I think it's okay for us to be full of it. Today I want to continue talking about grace. In fact, this will be my last Sunday on grace. We did 3 weeks on grace. I started off just thinking about doing 1 week, and then I'm thinking, well, there's more to talk about, and then there's more to talk about. And I remember in week one, we talked about how grace is more than forgiveness. And I don't want to, I've said this every week, and I want to say it again today, I don't want to diminish the importance and the value of the grace we've received to be forgiven of our sins, to be saved, right? But if you read Scripture, grace is more than that. Not to discount that, but to say it's that plus more. Last week we talked about how grace brings humility, allows us to be humble, right? How God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Today I want to go full circle and I want to talk about how we can give grace. We haven't been given grace just to keep it to ourselves. We've also been given it to give it away. So I want to talk about that today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that sets us free, that keeps us headed in the right direction. Lord, as we pray about grace today, I pray that we would remember first and foremost that you've given it to us for our benefit, but you've also commanded us to give it to others. I pray that we would be a grace-filled church that knows how to receive grace, but also to give grace. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 1 and 1 Peter chapter 4. John chapter 1 and then 1 Peter chapter 4. We're talking about giving grace to others, and the greatest example, I think, is that of Jesus, right? In fact, John talks about it here in John chapter 1. Listen to what John says about the grace Jesus gave. John chapter 1, verse 14. He says, "And the Word became flesh." Now, for those that don't quite understand Scripture, Word, notice it's capital W, talking about Jesus. And we know it's talking about Jesus by what it says here. "And the Word," so you could say, "and Jesus became flesh." We know that he became flesh. He came to this earth in a flesh body and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father. He's the only begotten Son of the Father. So we know it's talking about Jesus. Full of what? Grace and truth. Here John says that Jesus was full of it, of grace and truth. And verse 16 says, "From his fullness," because he was full of it, "from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace." Now, some of us lean towards truth, right? We just love the truth, and we're going to tell people the truth no matter what. And other people lean towards grace, whatever that means to you. I did a series a few years ago called, it was on grace and truth, and I think one of my sermons was "When Gracie Meets Truthy." And you've experienced the conflict between those two, maybe in your marriage. Maybe one of you is a Gracie and one of you is a Truthy, and they're always knocking up against each other, right? And one says, "Well, I wish they'd have more grace." And the other one says, "Well, I wish they would have more truth." Well, Jesus was full of both. He walked in both grace and truth equally. How wonderful would it be if we could do that? If that was in our marriages and in our family and in our church, amen? Last week, James spoke about grace, how God gives us more grace through humility, which is why God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And I believe James was speaking, he was the brother of Jesus. I believe that he was speaking more from experience than he was theory. I believe James had received, as John puts it, grace upon grace upon grace in his life. And as he did, he learned the value of grace and the value of giving it to others. Paul is another great apostle, right? I think Paul, in fact, in each of his letters, 13 times, he starts off every letter with this phrase, "Grace and peace to you." Whoever he was writing to, he spoke about grace and peace. And the reason I think he did was he had experienced it himself. He had received both grace and peace himself, but he also realized the value that it had for others, and he wanted to, in a way, give it away. If he couldn't give it away directly, he spoke about it. He spoke it. He blessed them with those words, grace and peace to you. And then before Paul, there was Jesus. Jesus gave a similar instruction to his disciples. He said, whenever you go to a home, he said, whatever house you enter, let your first words be peace to this house. And I believe that was more than just a polite greeting. I believe it was something that he knew they genuinely needed. They needed grace. They needed peace in their homes. And so he said, when you go into those homes, start off with blessing them with that greeting. And we know from Paul that, decades later, that's what he started his letters with. So how do we do this? How do we give grace to others? Many of us have received it, and we enjoy receiving grace. We enjoy God or people not giving us what we really deserve. Who would say, yep, I like grace, right? But we're not always as good as or intentional about giving it to others. And so that's my focus today. I want to start by first talking about maybe a misunderstanding we have about this thing called grace, which is maybe why we don't give it like we should. One of the misunderstandings about grace is some of us think of it as, giving someone a free pass to do whatever they want to do. And that's really not the case with grace, if you understand what grace really means. It certainly wasn't the view Jesus had. If you go to, don't go there, but if you think about in John chapter 8, where Jesus encounters a group of people made up of the Pharisees and then this woman who was caught in the very act of adultery, which we all can agree to was sinful, it was wrong, and they bring her before Jesus. You remember the story? And he has an exchange with both groups of people. He says to the Pharisees, who were full of truth and had very little grace, he said to them, if you're without sin, you can throw the first stone. He spoke truth to them in a graceful way. And of course, they all put their rocks down. And then to the adulterous woman, he said, where are your accusers? This is John chapter 8, verse 10. Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? And she said, no, sir, they didn't. And Jesus said, neither do I. There's the grace part, but hold on. He goes on with truth. He says, now go and what? Sin no more. Do you see the grace and the truth in that? He didn't beat her up for her sin, but he didn't excuse it either. He spoke truth. He said, you need to repent and you need to stop doing what you're doing. It's not good for you. I believe that would be a word for us today. Maybe there's some area of your life where God doesn't want to condemn you for it. He's not going to beat you up for it. Maybe you're beating yourself up, or people are beating you up worse than he is. He doesn't beat you up, but he doesn't ignore it either. He doesn't look the other way. He addresses it in a loving way. He speaks the truth in love. That's a beautiful picture of grace. He said, I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more. Now we're thinking, well, which way is it? I don't condemn you, or you're a sinner. and Jesus would say both. I love both ways. I love with both grace and truth. Right? He didn't speak the truth at the expense of grace. He didn't say you're a dirty, rotten sinner going to hell if you don't repent. He didn't go that way. Some of us as Christians, we go that way. That's not right. It might be true, but it has no grace in it at all. And sometimes if you're going to deliver truth, you need to wrap it with some grace so people can handle the truth. He didn't choose grace at the expense of truth. He didn't say, oh, honey, it's okay. Everybody's doing it. Go ahead. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes with our friends or with our family, we don't speak the truth because we don't want to hurt their feelings. In the name of love, we tell them what they want to hear. That's wrong too. He didn't deny the truth. He affirmed it. He didn't deny grace. He offered it. Here's the difference between a free pass giving a free pass and grace. A free pass says, I see your sin, friend, but I will ignore it. And we think that's love. Giving a free pass does not address the problem. Giving a free pass ignores the problem. Giving a free pass says, I don't want to dirty my hands and get involved in the conversation that we need to really have to fix the problem. That's the free pass. And that's easy. Anybody can give a free pass. It's not what Jesus did, and it's not what Jesus tells us to do. He tells us to give grace. Here's grace. Grace says, I see your sin, and I love you enough to want to pray for you. I love you enough to get involved and have a conversation. How can I help you? A free pass says, I don't want to get involved, which really sometimes means I don't love you enough to want to dirty my hands and get in the mess with you. Right? We've heard that phrase, friends don't let friends drive drunk. Right? You see your friend drinking too much? Are you going to step in and say, hey, give me your keys? Oh, I'm okay. You know, and notice how every drunk says, I'm okay. No, you're not. And at the risk of getting them ticked off or them not liking you, you take their keys from them. Listen to me. That is giving the grace of God to them that they need in that moment. I'm pausing because I want you to think about it. You're probably thinking about a time where you should have done that and didn't. Or there'll be a time in the future where that's really what you need to do. And I would say pray about it first, especially if it involves having a conversation with somebody. But in the moment, if you see somebody getting ready to hurt themselves and do something, you got to step in. My daughter used to say, see something, say something. If you see something that's not right, maybe God's let you see it so you can say something in a godly, loving, grace-filled way. Be part of the solution. Don't add to the problem. That's the difference between giving a free pass and giving grace. The selfish thing to do would be to do nothing. The loving thing to do would be to find out how to get involved, how to confront it, right? So if you're taking notes, here's maybe the first takeaway from how you can give grace. Listen, grace looks directly at sin and addresses it because of love. Listen to what Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. It's a beautiful picture of a Spirit-led grace giver. Who wants to be a Spirit-led grace giver? Yeah, just 10 people in our church. Okay, we got a long way to go here. But I had my hand up. I want to be one, right? He says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit, talking about believers, Spirit-filled believers, should restore that person, how? Gently. Notice it doesn't say ignore the problem. It says addresses it, but then it tells us how to address it gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. In other words, Paul says this is a loving thing to do. Is to do something, but do it the right way. Right? Now notice this kind of grace giving doesn't delight in calling out the sin. Right? It's not going around looking for opportunities to point out sin in people's lives. But when you see it, what do you do? This kind of grace-giving isn't prideful about speaking the truth as if you're better than them. This kind of grace-giving comes from a person who has deeply been encouraged and received grace themselves, and they understand the importance of giving grace to others. They want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. But it comes from a heart that cares. It comes from a heart that loves. What can I do to encourage my brother or sister, to help my brother and sister get through what they're going through and get to a better place? You see the difference? That's the kind of church we want to be. We don't want to go around looking for, you know, fault finding. But we also, when we're confronted with a friend who's going through an issue or we see them doing things that are destructive in their life, we need to find a way to say, hey, you got a minute? You got a minute? Now, be careful, because sometimes when you have this conversation, God may want you to first look inside at you to see if maybe you're seeing something in them that's also a mirror of what's in you. So you got to make sure your house is kind of good first, right? But don't avoid having the conversation with them, because they may need the very thing you're getting ready to talk with them about. Now, they may not want to hear it because of pride. We talked last week about how pride can block grace. And perhaps more importantly, we need to position ourselves to where we give people the opportunity to speak into our lives as well, in the same way that we would want to speak into their lives. Regularly, Paul, who had received much grace, wanted to give much grace to others, and sometimes he had to do it in some pretty bold comments in his letters. He was pretty bold, but he did it in love. And those who heard what he had to say, they had a choice. They could receive it and maybe improve their lives by heeding what he said, or they could reject it and keep going in the same direction they were going. We have that choice today. We can either receive it or we can reject it. In fact, I wrote down a few ideas here. How often does God's grace appear to us, but we don't see it as that? How often do maybe we receive words of a correction, but we don't, we see it as critical, we see it as criticism, more so than God's grace trying to intervene and help us? You know, when somebody says something to you, sometimes the truth hurts. Certainly it's an area, let's say, where the shoe fits. We just don't want to put on a new pair of shoes. And we get offended. Maybe a different approach would be to hear what they have to say and then get with the Lord and say, Lord, here's what they said. Is there any truth in that for me? Could it be that you're trying to give me grace through this person and I just didn't see it that way because I have what? Pride. Because it'll block it. Amen. Think about when people give words of advice or words of encouragement or words of correction that have the potential to bring blessing into your life. Do we welcome that or not? Because if we reject it, we could be rejecting God's favor that he wants to bring to us, his protection that he wants to bring to us, a blessing. We have to be careful. We have to be careful how we receive and how we give. And could it be that the grace we've received from God and others might be the very thing that other person needs, and if we refuse to give it, if we refuse to get involved, maybe we're robbing them of a blessing. So, there's a few grace blockers. Last week we talked about how pride can block grace. Here's three more this morning. Number one is bitterness. Bitterness can block the grace of God because of unforgiveness, right? There's an offense, and that leads to a hurt, and that hurt grows into some kind of anger, and eventually it could, if you don't deal with it. If you don't deal with it by forgiving someone, it grows into hatred, it grows into bitterness. Who's ever had bitterness in your heart towards somebody? Yeah. Yeah. What about towards God? Come on. Come on. Hebrews 12, the writer of Hebrews says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and to defile many. Notice here it says that bitterness can get in the way of receiving God's grace, and when it does, not only does it defile you, but it can defile others around you. Bitterness doesn't just come up in the one who's offended. It could also be spread to others who do life with the one that's offended. If you hang around a bitter person long enough, it may rub off on you. And so one of the things you need to do that would be helpful is to say, hey, when somebody's bitter and you know they're angry, instead of joining forces with them and say, yeah, I'd like to kill them too, why don't you say, have you thought about forgiving them? Have you thought about forgiving them? Here recently this happened, and somebody came who hadn't been here in a while, and, you know, word got back to me, they're still very mad at you. And I said, well, what did you say anything? And they said, yes. This person told this other person, said, you need to forgive Pastor Bob because it's like drinking poison hoping he'll die, but it's only killing you. And that's true. That's true. Had that person told me they were still mad at me, I would have said, well, would you please forgive me? Right? That's giving grace. That's giving grace. Not paybacks. That's giving grace. Would you forgive me? Some of you here today, if I've said something or done something or not done something and I've offended you in some way and you're mad, would you let me know? Now, you can forgive me without letting me know. That's better for you. You don't have to go through the pain of a confrontation, but if you want to confront and have a conversation, at some point I'm going to find out what did I do, and then I'm going to say, would you forgive me? Okay. Let's clear the air. Let's don't give the enemy any foothold to bring disunity and disharmony in our relationship and in our church. Amen? Inadequacy is another blocker. Inadequacy. This thought that I don't deserve his grace. Let me clear that up for you. You don't. You don't deserve it, but you need it, because if you don't receive it, you can't give it to others, and we're commanded to do both. Here's another one. Insufficiency can block the grace of God. Like, God's grace isn't enough for me. You don't know what I've done, or it's run out for me. If that's true, then you're calling God a liar, because God's word says, my grace is sufficient for you. God's word says, my mercy never runs out for you. It endures forever. That's good news, church. So listen, if you need God's grace, receive it. And if you've received it, why don't you look for ways to give it to others? My hope is that Generations Church will be a grace community of both grace receivers and grace givers equally. That will understand the beauty and the value of receiving God's grace, because we all need it. But that we won't stop there. We'll be a good steward of it. Now look at 1 Peter chapter 4. I took a while to get to that second verse. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. I think Peter describes the kind of community I'm talking about that I want our church to be. He says, above all, Generations Church. He doesn't say that, but above all, that's the Amplified. That's the Bob's Amplified version. He says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. He says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. In other words, be generous. Look for ways to be generous with others. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. We talked about that last week. As, watch this, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. There's different ways we can receive grace and give grace. But he says to be a good steward of it. I'll come back to that in a minute. He goes on, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. In other words, when you speak the truth, but do it in love. And if anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Notice he says, if anyone speaks or if anyone serves. If anyone speaks or if anyone serves. So the way we give grace is to our words and our actions. You see that? It's not being quiet. It's not saying anything. It's not getting involved. But it's using our words and our actions in practical ways to give the grace of God to others. And the reason we're to give it is because we've received it. Remember, Jesus said, I've freely given, or you freely received, now freely give to others. Paul talks about stewardship of grace. If you remember in the parable of the talents, Matthew chapter 25, there was the story about the master who went on a long trip, and in his absence he said, I'm going to come back, but in the meantime I'm going to give you some things to steward well. To one he gave five talents, to another two talents, to another one. You remember the story. the five guy and the two guy, you know, the guys that got the five and the two, they did something with it. They multiplied, and when the master came back, they had done something. They did quite a bit with what he gave them. But then there was that one guy who did nothing with what he was given. And we know that for the first two, it went well. For the third one, it didn't go so well, right? I'm wondering if we could substitute gold in that story with grace. Well, what if we reread that story this week? To one guy, he gave five measures of grace. Some of you have gotten a lot more grace than others. To another, two talents of grace, and to one talent of grace. Well, what if he came back and said, what did you do with the grace that I gave you? How good have you stewarded my grace to others? Whoa. I'm thinking if we start this week with the five, two, and one in mind, even if you've been given one talent of grace, maybe you haven't been, in your eyes, you haven't perceived that you've been given as much as others, but listen, God says, what are you going to do with what I gave you? And we know that when the master comes, if you remember the story, when the master comes, he rewarded those who did something with what they were giving. That's my challenge for us this week. We've all received, most of us have received God's grace for our sin problem. That's huge. I would say all of us with that perspective could say we've all received five talents of grace. Good. My question is, are you a five-talent giver of grace? You can be if you want to, but you got to choose to. You got to be intentional. We got to go out this week not looking to fault find, but are there ways that I can give grace, God's grace, to others? I can pray for them. I can hear their story. And instead of saying, well, you idiot, why'd you do that? Can I just tell you that most people have already said that to themselves and they've heard it from 10 others? That what they need to hear is maybe some grace to say, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? I remember when I went through a time like this, and I know how it feels. And I just love you so much. Can I pray for you? Can I redirect your attention back to God and let Him intervene in this situation? We'll just believe together that things are again. But you see how beautiful and how wonderful that is? You see how that approach is filled with grace versus, you know, you're getting what you deserve. Let other people do that. There's plenty. There's plenty of people that you don't need to do that. What we need to do probably is bring grace into the situation. Now, if they get to playing on your sympathy card or empathy card and they're wanting you to agree with what they're doing, you can't go that way either. Right? That's where you got to speak the truth in love. And you might say something like this, I know it seems that way from your vantage point, but here's what God says about it. God says, right? So can I pray for you? You see how you intervene? This is what the truth is. Can I pray for you? Now, they may have pride that's in the way and they don't want to hear what you have to say. They don't want you to pray for them. So be it. But you did your part. You tried to bring grace to the problem. They can either receive it or they can reject it. But let's don't forget our job. Our job is to bring grace. Amen? It's to give grace anytime. Let's go looking for grace. I loved what Jacqueline shared this morning. Why don't we go expecting to be part of a miracle instead of focusing all the miracles we missed out on? Let's be intentional to give grace. Right? Look for opportunities. Can I hear a good amen? Listen, when we're good stewards of God's grace, peace and joy will always increase for everyone. Who believes that's a good thing? Who believes that's a God thing? Yeah. Would you bow your heads? What do you hear God saying to you right now about His grace? Have you received His grace for your sin problem? Have you received the grace that forgives and gives eternal life, salvation? If you're here in the house or watching online, I'm going to give you a chance to do that this morning. I'll come to that back that come back to that in a minute, but here's another thought. Have you received God's grace for godly living? We all need that. We can't do that on our own. We need the power of God. We need the presence of God working in our life. We need the Holy Spirit to give us the grace to know that the direction we're headed in is not the right direction. And would you give me the grace to change? Would you give me the grace for right living? We talked about that last week. And sometimes that requires some humility. We got to put our pride aside and be humble. And then what we talked about today, are you sharing and giving God's grace to others who need it? Or will you start doing that if you're not? Father, thank you for speaking the truth and love to us today through this message. Thank you for reminding us that you've given us grace that we don't deserve, but you also have called us to give grace that others don't deserve. I pray we'll do that well. If you're here in the house or watching online and you need the grace for salvation, the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of clearing the bar of righteousness in God's eyes. God knew that. Jesus knew that. So a loving God provided another way for us to clear the bar. You see, the truth of God, the justice of God, says that sin has to be paid for through the shedding of blood. But it also had to be untainted blood, perfect blood. Well, Jesus was the only one that had that blood. So in a sense, God sent himself here to die in our place so we wouldn't have to. That's truth and grace in the gospel. It's God's justice and God's grace in action. He gave us his grace, or you could say he gave us mercy to let us live and not die for our sins. But you have to receive it. It's not automatic. There's an exchange that takes place. He says, I've made a way for you to be saved and not be condemned to hell for the rest of your life because of your sin, but you've got to receive it from me and only me. There might be somebody here in the house or watching online who hasn't received God's grace for your salvation. And I'm praying that the Holy Spirit is convicting you right now to say, yep, he's talking to you. He's talking to you. He's talking to many, but he's talking to you right now. And if you've never received that grace, it's a wonderful thing. It's an amazing thing. And yes, you don't deserve it, but you need it. And he died to give it to you. So if that's you and you want to receive it, would you just raise your hand? If you're here in the house, just raise your hand and say, I need that grace. I don't want to die today or die this week and know that I feel short of that. How tragic would it be to have heard how to have a ticket to heaven and you passed on it? That just doesn't make sense to me. But then again, I'm a brainwashed pastor, I guess. It's for you if you want it. If you need it, raise your hand and receive it. Anybody? Or if you're watching online, I'm going to pray anyway. There might be somebody online. Or there might be somebody here in the house that wants it. They just don't want the people next to them to know they need it. Listen, God's grace is sufficient for that. I'm going to pray anyway. And if you want to pray with me, you can. Make it personal. Father, I confess that I'm a sinner and I deserve death. But I've heard today that you love me more than that. You love me so much that you died for my sin. I don't fully understand that, but I like it. And I'm going to humble myself right now and admit to you that I need it. one step further. I'm choosing to receive it right now. Right now. Thank you, Jesus. I receive your love for my life. I receive it. I confess that you died for my sin. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins, past, present, and future. And I receive this wonderful gift of grace that saves me. I receive it today. I receive it right now. And I declare with my mouth and I believe in my heart that you are Jesus, my Savior. But I also want you to be Jesus, my Lord, my Master. And from this day forward, I will never forget what you've done for me today. And from this day forward, I will always live for you, giving you my worship, putting you first in every area of my life, spending time with you every day. Holy Spirit, would you come and fill me right now with your presence and your power, your grace to live a holy life for God. And everything I do from this day forward, I do with gratitude, and I do as a way to say thank you, thank you, thank you for what you've done for me. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand and worship Jesus and tell him how grateful we are for the grace that he's given you and the grace that you're now going to go give to others. I love you. I'll see you next week.